You're listening to Black People Go to Therapy Too, a podcast about people of color and their experiences in therapy. Don't forget to subscribe and spread the word that we're now available on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, and Spotify. Now let's begin our session. Everybody, thanks for coming back for another session on Black People Go to Therapy Too.
What's up?
Today we have a guest, one of my really good friends, Brandon, but I'll go ahead and let him introduce himself to you guys.
All right.
Hi, guys. Tell us about you.
Okay. So, hi, I'm Brandon. I'm 33 years old, African-American male, cisgender. My pronouns are he and him. I've lived in Chicago now for 4 years, originally born and raised in Kansas City, Kansas, right next to Kansas City, Missouri, but just a small, I would say like a medium-sized metropolitan.
Yeah, and growing up in Kansas versus living here in Chicago, what is that like for you?
A whirlwind.
If y'all can see his face, he's like, well...
It's different. You know, it's a whirlwind. I think I could say growing up in Kansas, I think I came from like a very traditional background, small town atmosphere. I mean, I don't even think I explored really my sexuality, or I think I was aware of like being a Black gay male at an early age, but I think it's kind of frowned upon, to be honest. I'm an only child. You know, I come from, like, my mom and dad have been married for over 30 years, so very traditional values and so, but, you know, I didn't know any gay people growing up, to be honest. Like, I think people were called, like, oh, feminine, or fruity, or sugar in your tank, right? All those country word sayings.
Limperous.
Yeah, like, limperous, or, you know, and then, I mean, I was exposed to that, because partially, like, I try to fit in with the more masculine people around me, right? So like I try to play the sports, I try to, as we some kind of say, be trick trade, right? In regards in regards to just like trying to put on this facade, but in the back of my mind I knew who I was, but I really didn't express my sexuality until I went to college and I went away from this, you know, this atmosphere, the small town atmosphere.
And that's funny too, because I think of like in my small town, like I say I didn't know any gay people, like I probably did, but the only people in the community that I knew who were gay were always the most flamboyant.
Absolutely.
Like that was my, what I thought was gay, and so I was like, no, that's not me.
Right.
Like, that's not who I am.
Right.
And not even anything wrong there, but it's just like, I thought that was the picture, like that's what gay was, and so I didn't even know that I was gay in the sense of I couldn't even admit to myself, because I'm like, I am not this specific person with all of these qualities and this ways of expressing themselves.
I agree. I mean, like, when I remember being 16 and, like, there was, like, one more flamboyant guy in my school, and we were on track and field together, and, you know, he actually started introducing me more to the gay lifestyle, and I was nervous. I was, like, scared shitless. Like, I had no idea, like, what was going on, why were I having these feelings. And he wasn't even trying to come on to me. He was more so just trying to broaden my horizons, make me more consciously aware. And like, I think he was a senior, I was a sophomore, be more like, it's okay to be who you are. It's okay if, you know, you want to hang out with boys. It's okay if you want to dance. It's okay if you just want to be like free and not be so timid or concerned of like, who's watching you? Or do they think you gay? You know, because I mean, to be honest, I mean, we grew up in a society today that is more accepting, but I think we all grew up where you would get your ass whooped. Like, I mean, I think it's more consciously aware, and we don't have so many hate crimes as we used to, but it's still like, oh, I think about 15, 16 years ago, like, when I was growing up, like, if you came out gay or somebody else and you were at school, I wouldn't be surprised if you got into a fight. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody tried to pop you upside your head. Like, you still had to be aware of
your surroundings. You put a target on your back.
You had to be aware of your surroundings. Like, and luckily, like, I grew up with, like, my dad, who's very, like, you know, taught me how to protect myself, so I didn't feel very, like, oh, my God. Like, if I had a box or if I had to get into something, I would be okay. No offense.
I'm going
to
handle mine.
I will be able to handle it, but it's not something that I want to be, like, surrounded by and be like, oh, my God, I'm scared.
Yeah, and just having to walk around wondering when it's going to happen.
Absolutely. Like, it'd be like, oh, are they going to bust me upside my head?
Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks for that little intro and knowledge about, you know, where you come from, how you were raised. Kind of getting into it, why did you first seek out therapy?
I first seeked out therapy due to a very tumultuous relationship that I had probably around 2 years ago. And I found myself spiraling in a manner of going more into a depression state. And I really didn't like it. I remember the same, I had the same process or feeling when I was 18 in college. When I moved to college and went to a big PWI and whatever else, you know, that's when I started exploring my sexuality and I felt more free and more comfortable. And I started dating someone, or I thought I was dating this guy. Long story short, he was the college hoe. And he just was.
He just was.
He just was. You know, first love, lost my virginity, all this other stuff. But from that aspect, he broke my heart. And then for the, like, 6 to 7 months, I didn't know I was depressed, but I was in a state of depression where more so all I wanted to do was sleep. All I wanted to do was be alone. All I wanted to do was be in a quiet, dark space, right? My only motivation in college was that I would go to class. I would be in PJs and sweats. I would go to class. I would do the bare minimum of, like, do my work. And then all I want to do is just sleep. And I kept it to myself. I don't think any of my friends really knew what I was going through or any of that space. You know, I would try to put on a good, like, I don't know, facade for my friends, even my parents. I think my mom picked up on certain subtle signs in regards to saying, like, you know, what's wrong or what's going on? I'd be like, oh, nothing, I'm fine. Or, oh, I'm just tired. But I was mentally tired, and I just spiraled in that state of just, like, basically cocooning myself and just like, okay. I basically, I think I, like, self-coped, and I figured it out for myself more so. But that happened when I was 18, so fast forward, 2 years ago, when I got out of this tumultuous relationship, I felt myself having those same tendencies when I was 18. And I was like, I do not want to go through this again. Like, I felt myself already feeling very emotional. I felt myself already like, I just want to sleep. I just want to be left alone. I'm tired. I don't want to talk to anyone. And I was just like, you need to figure this out for yourself, because I don't think you want to go through that same process that you went through when you were 18. Because yes, you got through it, but it was very burdensome and it wasn't an easy process. And I'm like, okay, Brandon, at this point, I think I was, what, you're 30, 31. There's other things that you can engage in or activities to figure out what is mentally going on with you. So from that perspective, I have a few friends that went to therapy and everything else. And I was just like, I think I just need to open this door. I need to figure out what it is. I don't know if it's going to be good for me. I'm very, like, psychoanalytical. I'm very, like, consciously aware of people's feelings and emotions. So I feel like if I go to therapy, I'm basically going to be able to run over this person. I really felt that. Like, I really felt like, you know, I'm usually very in tune with other people's experiences and emotions. So I really can usually figure out what's going on with someone before they are. It's part of my innate nature. But I was just like, this is not going to work for me. But why not? I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to give it a shot. Just see how it goes.
And you did. And before we even get into that experience, were there any stigmas or, like, misconceptions that you had of, like, people who go to therapy, or the types of the people who go to therapy, or even what you go to therapy for?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone has the stigma. I think, especially Black people, we have a stigma that if you go to therapy, you must be crazy. You got some very, you got some deep mental issues. You're suicidal. You have some deep, dark, intimate shit, right? I think that's the first stigma. I think growing up in a Black household, when families have issues or emotional problems, we just think of it differently. I think we think of it as, like, first off, I think of it as it being shunned. We're quiet about it. Everyone has, like, deep, dark secrets in their Black family where so-and-so cheated on so-and-so, now they have a baby, or so-and-so used to do, you know, crack and all this other stuff, right? It's shunned. It, basically, you will see them at the family picnic and we'll act like nothing ever happened, right? We just keep it going. I think it's just in our human nature as African-Americans, it's just through our history of, like, we just persevere. Mm-hmm. And we just, you know, we don't persevere. First off, we don't talk about it. We don't also, like, express our feelings or emotions. It's just like, I don't know, from my mental state, it's always like, you suck it up and you keep moving.
Yeah.
Like
your ancestors got through something more tougher. Like,
you got through so much. This ain't nothing.
Your grandparents worked hard. Your parents worked hard. Like,
push through.
You can't be sad. What you sad about?
Be like, you got emotion? Like, yeah. You want to cry? What is that? Mm-hmm. Like, you suck it up and you keep going.
Yeah.
So, I did come from that state. I think that's where my mental process was, where I'm like, well, I'm not crazy, or I'm not, mm-hmm. or like, I'm not going through this. But also, in the same sense, I was just like, I do not feel well.
Mm-hmm.
I am not in a place where I can control my emotions, my experiences, mm-hmm. and I don't feel like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever tools I can use or help or necessarily get me through this process is what I have to do for myself.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, my big thing, mm-hmm. even throughout the stigma. And I think, you know, even when I talked about it to my parents, they were very open about it after. Mm-hmm. I didn't even tell them. I was in therapy at least for like 7 or 8 months before I told them. I'm dead serious. I was scared.
Yeah.
I was scared and nervous. I didn't know mm-hmm. what my mother was going to think. Mm-hmm. And her perception of me, I didn't want it to be clouded.
Yeah.
I didn't want her to think of me differently. And I was nervous. Like, mm-hmm. I'm 33 years old, and I'm still scared of my mom. I'm not going to lie. In multiple capacities.
Yeah.
So, I was just like, is she going to look at me differently? Is she going to mm-hmm. think of me as her son? Or is she going to feel something that, like, did she do something wrong mm-hmm. of why I need to go through this? Because I never wanted her to feel like she did anything mm-hmm. or that I had trauma in my childhood that makes me have a necessity for therapy.
Yeah.
It's my own personal growth.
Mm-hmm. I think that's hard, too, is just really thinking about, like, even me becoming a therapist. Like, my family was fine with that, but, like, mm-hmm. me saying I'm going to therapy was, like, very hard for my mom and dad to take, because they're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell us about this? Yeah. And it's like, I need an outside perspective.
Yeah.
And, like, no, it's not, well, yeah, sure, it is in the way that you raised me, but it's not anything that I'm saying that you did wrong. Right. It's nothing that you probably... Sure, you could have done things better, but like I had a good childhood. I had good parenting.
Absolutely.
And I was blessed to have you guys as parents. Mm-hmm. But there are things that I need to process outside of like your lens, your scope. I've had that most of my life.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the reason a lot of people go to therapy is absolutely. Like I need that unbiased perspective that hasn't been like grown up in the same household as me, that doesn't have some of the same values that I grew up having or mm-hmm. adhering to. Mm-hmm. Like, I need somebody who's not connected to you.
I need someone that could just call me out.
Yeah.
Call me out and be also be able to connect the dots that mm-hmm. I normally wouldn't have ever thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, this is why you feel this way because of your past experiences. And I'd be like, I would have never thought of that. Like, yeah. Where did that come from? Mm-hmm. But... it's true. Yeah, it's totally true.
Because those stories and narratives are so common in our families and in our own lives that we think, like, it is what it is, basically. Like, oh, yeah, there's nothing there. Like, I think I told my first therapist, like, yeah, and there's nothing there. Like, when I would say something, he would, like, come with a perspective, and I'm like,
maybe there is something there.
Let me slow down.
Or maybe you just checked me, and I need to, let's bring that back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it is nice to have that kind of point of view. And mm-hmm. How did you come to find your therapist? What was that process like?
I think, to be honest, like, I've heard horror stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely heard horror stories about finding a therapist and going through multiple processes and everything else. I think I went through a little bit of process, but I think I was also blessed in my experience mm-hmm. living in Chicago, because I think we have a lot of opportunities, a lot of networks,
mm-hmm.
a lot of different like clinics and physicians. So my process wasn't as hard. So I work in the finance industry, and I guess I'm blessed to have very good insurance.
Yeah.
Right. So in that perspective, first off, like, we even have like an internal network where, say, for instance, I say I want to go to therapy. I get on a little 15-minute call. They're like, okay, there's a therapist in your area. You get 5 sessions free before you mm-hmm. have a copay.
Yeah.
You know, we set up the time. Mm-hmm. Go, you know, let mm-hmm. us know how it goes. If you want to switch, you can switch.
Mm-hmm. Is that through an EAP?
I think it's through an EAP.
Yeah.
I think it's through an EAP. I don't mm-hmm. even know what that means.
Yeah.
But I've seen those acronyms. And I was, mm-hmm. all I know is that they said, call this number.
Yeah. they have that a lot of times at companies. Like, people don't realize it. Like, when you're looking through your benefits, it says, like...
And what does EAP stand for?
Some plan. I don't know.
Right. It's just like, I don't know.
I just know that, like you explained it, like, jobs have a certain amount of sessions that they will pay for comped before you have to start paying for therapy, which is a great way, that a thing that people don't know they have access to, because it's in their benefits, and you're just like, that's on my ADP. I'm not looking. I don't know what an EAP is.
I was like, I don't know what this is. I just, it's like, oh, just call this number, had a 15-minute questionnaire. Oh, what's your zip code? Okay, I set you up. Okay, sure. So in that regard, I went to my first therapy session ever, and I remember it like it was yesterday. So I think it was important to me for in therapy that I can more so have someone that had combative wits, because I know that I can become off aggressive, and I can come off and I will challenge someone.
Yeah.
And if I can run over them, we're not going to be able to really have a good conversation, because I feel like I'm going to run the show. And then also, I wanted to be able to connect to them through my identity as being a Black gay male in certain capacities. Now, I didn't know if that was going to be a reflection specifically similar to who I am, but I wanted them to be consciously aware. So when I was setting up my first therapy session, they was like, I was like, hey, I want someone in the LGBTQ community. I want someone that's dealt with this. She's like, oh, perfect. I found someone. He deals with this type of counseling, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I show up and it's this like 41, 42-year-old white male. He doesn't... I think he's even straight, to be honest. And there's nothing wrong with it. You know, you can be straight. You can be gay. You can be aware. You can have kids. Perfect.
But
you can
be an ally. But in terms of your identity...
Yeah, you can be an ally. Awesome. But I was like, all right, let me walk in. Let me give this a shot. So I walk in. I had my first session for an hour. And it was horrible. Really? It was like watching wet paint dry. It was horrible. Like, I'm trying to express to him, like, I just went to through a very hard breakup. Like, tumultuous. I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling like I'm not feeling myself. You know, I'm trying to relay, like, you know, this is how I felt when I was 18. Now this is how I'm feeling again. And he was just like, okay. Okay. And then it was like, have you tried activities? I was like, I don't know. What do you mean? Have you tried to get involved in groups? Have you tried to talk to your friends? And I was just looking like, is this what therapy is about?
Yeah.
Like, I could have Googled this shit. Like, this is not helping me. And he's like, okay, So basically, he heard me talk for like 50, 55 minutes. And he's like, okay, you should start getting involved in activities. And then let's see how it goes. And let's go from there. And I was like, okay. So
like, let's go get a new therapist.
Yeah. Immediately. I will say, unintentionally, I'm a go-getter. So I knew innately, like, nope, you're not it. You're not it. So I think I still had 4 sessions with my EAP, and I didn't even go through my EAP again. So I talked to a friend, and it's kind of interesting, like, you starting this podcast, but I think we have a lot of our colleagues or friends that are in therapy. So I just used our internal network. I was like, hey, I know you guys have therapists, whatever. Do you mind recommending like your therapist or the network that you're in? And one of my friends actually recommended his network. And it's basically an LGBTQ-based, like, network here in Chicago. Can I say the name?
Yeah, if you want. Yeah. You had a good experience.
Yeah, I had a good experience. It's called Introspectrum. I think they have, like, 2 counseling offices in Chicago. And they deal with a lot of the Black, LGBT, or just even minority youth in Chicago. I mean, and it was pretty awesome. So, basically, what occurred is that I just reached out to them. I filled out a questionnaire. I looked on their site, and they had one thing I did want. I wanted a Black gay man. I did. I was like, I want this to be, I'm not saying my Judy, but I want to be I want a Black gay man that can be like, I understand what you're going through. I've been there. I've been through all these people too. I understand the queer society and how you're looked at and your perspective. I wanted that.
You didn't want to have to go in there and overly educate someone.
I didn't want to explain to be like, why do you feel that way? Because I feel that way because I'm Black.
Yeah.
And I'm gay. And I have usually perceived as a double negative. Like, I didn't want that, right? I want someone to be like, I understand your thoughts. I understand your feel. So, long story short, I filled out a questionnaire. I was like, I want this person. The intake team, they's like, unavailable. You know, unavailable, next. And I was just like, well, I want them. What do they have? And it was like, they had one minute time of like Tuesdays at like 10 a.m. And I was like, I work in corporate America. I can't get off on a Tuesday at 10 a.m. And first off, do I feel comfortable asking my VP, like, hi, I need off every Tuesday at 10 a.m. For therapy. First off, I don't want them in my business.
Yeah.
Second off, then I might be looked at crazy, even though HR perspective, they're not supposed to do anything. But I was like, that's not going to work. So it was so funny. The intake team, one of the persons that was in the intake team was a therapist. And I actually called her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, this is my thoughts. This is what I want. She's like, I think I have someone for you. And I was just like, okay. She's like, I know you're hesitant, but she's like, look her up on our website. Have a session with her and then just fill it out. Some of your thoughts, right? So, turned out to be a great experience. Amazing experience. So, my therapist, she's a black woman, but she is bisexual, black woman, close to my age, from New York. And we actually really connected and developed a great relationship. Like, I think within the, like, the first two sessions, which is not me, I'm not an emotional person, she broke me down. Like, she broke me down. And I'm not saying she, it could have been a mix of my emotional state, it could have been a mix of just like talking to her and her soothing voice, but she broke me down.
Really?
Like, broke me down to the core. And what I was like, I was like, I'm not, because I'm not, if you're ever in a therapy session and you start hearing that tremble in your voice, you're like, oh Lord, I'm in trouble. I'm about to cry. I'm in trouble. And as a black person, we don't cry. So it's just like, I'm trying to, you know, suck it up and hold it in. And she broke me down. But long story short, the reason why she broke me down is because going through the process of my relationship, she was able to identify that I was being mentally and emotionally abused by my partner. And I was unconsciously aware that this was even occurring. And it wasn't more so just a, like, beginning state or process. Like, after she told me this and I, like, went through the states and I then started Googling it, like, it was clear signs of the process of, like, you know, hot and cold, only wants you to himself, you know, very aggressive, over-possessional. Like, it was, like, laid out, like, through A to Z of what I was going through in my relationship is what was occurring. And I was totally unaware. I didn't pick up on any of the red flags. Like, it had gotten to the point where she's like, well, to be honest, like, after we broke up, after I finally got away from this person, he followed me to a different city. And she was like, you don't think that's, like, cautionary or you should be concerned? And I was just like, oh, no, he'll be okay. Or he's just going through it. And she's like, in a nice way, professional manner, like, I'm a little concerned for you. And I think you should call the police. Like, she just put some stuff in perspective for me, which I was really beneficial of.
And it's funny because you're trying to go back to that kind of how you were raised, like, oh, it's no big deal. I can take care of myself.
I'm good.
Yeah, he followed me, but it's nothing. And she's like,
he hopped the flight, the same flight. Oh, he's in the same venue. Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, that's not how this works. So, yeah, it was a little scary.
So I know one of the hardest things for a lot of people I hear is, like, after that very emotional session where you didn't expect it and you feel kind of raw and, like, you put yourself out there, that there's kind of this, like, apprehension to go to the next one because you're like, ooh, like, she got that out of me and I didn't know it was going to come up. Like, how did you feel the session after that? Like, was it difficult to kind of go and, like, understand expectations?
I think, to be honest with you, since I'm not such an emotional person, I think I kind of self-soothe myself to figure out it's what I needed. It's, you know, it's what I needed. And it's okay to be vulnerable. Did I still have hesitation? Absolutely. But I understand that each session is not going to be the same. And you're not going to go down the same venue or avenue to determine, like, how did this go or where you should go from here, everything else. I went into it like, okay, she broke me down, but let's see where the next thing is. Because what's one thing I learned in therapy, they might break you down, but they break you down for you to learn more about yourself to build you up, which I found very beneficial to me. Like, the first 6 months of therapy, more so for me, was just acknowledging what I went through. Because of being a black male, I'm like you said, you just push through it. You just go through it. And she was really able to say, like, you've been through a tough time. Like, this person got into your mental psyche and really tried to warp your experience of your relationship, of saying, like, thinking of myself as, like, you're not grateful, you're not needed, you're not wanted, no one else will love you, you know, no one will ever care for you like I do. You're a liar, you're a manipulator, right? All these things drawn up for the last 7 to 8 months that we were together, really trying to morph my experience of who I thought I was. And she really put in the time and effort to say, like, you have to connect the dots of the red flags and also see, like, that's not you. And, you know, it's kind of like one of those things, like, when someone says, like, the sky is red and you know it's blue. But then they're so good at manipulating it, and you'd be like, is the sky red? Like, am I tripping?
Maybe it's a different hue.
Maybe it's a different, like, and that's what I went through. And I was like, I've had to get back to myself. But it was like, this is messed up. Like, this is really messed up. But one thing I think she also helped me do is that what I figured out when I was depressed and going through this situation through in just acknowledgement is that it's okay to feel hurt and depressed. What I found out through therapy is that I was, like, giving myself a double negative standard. I was depressed, and since I was depressed, I wanted to sleep, but I felt guilty for wanting to sleep. So I kept basically having consequences to myself. I kept I kept more so being like, I don't like this. Like, I want to sleep, but I know I shouldn't sleep because that's not a good thing. And she's like, if you want to sleep, you can sleep. You know, it was like just those small little accolades or just those small things of just saying, like, if you want to take a nap, it's okay. You have been through some things. If you want to...
You're exhausted. You're mentally exhausted,
it's okay. But I was like basically setting myself up, be like, well, I shouldn't be depressed, and then I'm depressed. And then I'm. It's even worse that if I'm depressed, then I sleep. And she helped me push through that, be like, go through the process and feel okay going through the process. But I think it also helps to talk to someone that can just be aware of you, what you're going through, even if they haven't been through it, but also help you go through it yourself.
Yeah, for sure. And thinking of kind of your experiences in therapy, I always like to talk about the do's and don'ts for therapists. So if you could think of, let's start with the do's. So what should therapists do when connecting with individuals who, with similar identities to yours? What are do's?
I think the first few sessions, they should try to get to know you. I think, you know, I think some therapists are very good about becoming in tune with their, you know, with the person that they're giving therapy to. And I think certain people basically brush over it. I like that a therapist, like my therapist, and she's still my therapist, spent time and effort to, like, tell me about yourself. Tell me about your upbringing. Tell me about what you currently do. You know, I think she's so good that I can even say, like, we've talked about past relationships or experiences, and even when we go on to talk about different things, she can even interconnect the dots from things I've told her a year and a half ago. And be able to say, like, well, that reminds you of X and X, right? And I'm like, yeah, it does. And it's kind of like profound, like, wow, you remember that? And
you know my story.
Yeah, you really know my story, right? Even to that extent, like, she left. Like, my therapist actually left and went to a different city, and I got a new therapist. I tried it for 3 times, the new therapist. Hated it. I ain't gonna even lie. Hated it. It's just one of those things. I'm gonna be real. Like, I was just like, and she was a black queer woman, and I respect that. But her, I think you also have to understand, everyone's therapist style is different, and some works for you, some doesn't. I call her the yes girl. Because I would just talk, and that's all I got. And I was just like, I need some engagement. I need you to call me out, and I need some acknowledgement. So long story short, I went back mm-hmm. to my old therapist. And actually, we still connect through, I think it's through an application called Theralink, where mm-hmm. we just do Skype.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I meet with her bi-weekly, but I was mm-hmm. like, I don't care. I like her. Mm-hmm. Yes, I pay out of pocket. It just is what it is. Yeah. I have to do what's best for my own experience. And yeah. then some people are like, oh my God, it must be expensive, everything else. I think about it, especially us living in a certain like large metropolitan. If you could pay $60, $70 when we go out for a mediocre meal, which just happens all the time in Chicago, yeah. you could pay for your therapy. Mm-hmm. And that's just how I felt.
Yeah.
Because we'll have a brunch or anything else and be like, oh, okay, whatever. Yeah,
just swipe.
So I can keep going. But it's mm-hmm. like, you won't put self-care and time into yourself. Mm-hmm. So the big thing, the big do is that I think your therapist should be able to connect with you and relate to you. Mm-hmm. Not even, and they don't even have to relate to more so have your same experiences, but be able to acknowledge your experiences and be also able mm-hmm. to interconnect those. Some of the don'ts is I think, and I haven't experienced, I've experienced this with a therapist I don't go to, mm-hmm. and I don't with a new one, is that I think that they should take some, like, big thing for me is find out why am I here, mm-hmm. what is the end result, and I think one thing my therapist is good about, what are your goals?
Yeah.
What do you want the outcome of this to be, mm-hmm. right? My goals a year and a half ago are totally different than what my goals are now in therapy, yeah. as I still go. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes therapists, they get so centered upon what you initially came for that we're past that.
Yeah. Especially 6 months, a year down the road, like those goals should be met, or there yeah. should be a way to at least check in and see if they've
absolutely.
Changed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think yeah. some therapists are really good about let's do a checkup. Let's mm-hmm. reevaluate, which my therapist has done. Let's reevaluate where you were, yeah. where you are now, mm-hmm. and what do you want out of this?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So that's important, because I feel like with therapy, it's good to know, okay, why am I coming here? And yep. not to discount, like, people can go to therapy just to want to go to therapy.
Absolutely.
And unpack things, but also absolutely. Having a goal in mind, like mm-hmm. having something that you're constantly working towards is going to be beneficial to you. And that way you can see whether or not the style is working for you too. Because yeah. if you know that you set out to do X, Y, Z and you haven't even touched on that, it's cool if you've changed those goals now. But if those are still goals of yours and you haven't even hit on them, it's something you should feel comfortable either bringing up to your therapist
yeah.
or maybe seeing if maybe it's just a type of style that does not work for you.
Next.
Yeah. And what would you say one of the most important things you've learned or taken away from therapy? If you could think of a couple of quick, maybe mm-hmm. one or two sentences.
Yeah.
What is one of the most important things you've taken away from therapy?
I think for me and my own personal experience with therapy, one tidbit is that it's okay to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I think as a Black male, I am very protected, self-guarded. You know, I can carry the weight and burden of the whole world on my shoulders. Mm-hmm. And it's okay.
And to say, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's fine.
Right.
It's okay. It's good.
Right. I think it's okay for yeah. me to be just, you know, vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I think also, in my experience with therapy, and that something I have been better about acknowledging is that it's okay for you to acknowledge your accolades, and mm-hmm. I've never been done a good job of that. Mm-hmm. I've always been like, you know, yes, I'm successful in certain capacities, and yes, I'm mm-hmm. motivated, but I've never been the one to pat myself on the back. Mm-hmm. I'm more so just like, Black man 101, you just keep moving. You just yeah. keep striving ahead, right? Mm-hmm. And it's okay, like my therapist.
Don't get too comfortable.
Exactly. And my therapist yeah. sometimes is just like, let's take a minute. Mm-hmm. You really did something very beneficial to yourself, or mm-hmm. you really did something very beneficial to others. And that's an achievement. You yeah. don't think that's an achievement? You don't think you should be like proud mm-hmm. of yourself, right?
Dragging you to pat yourself on the back.
Yes. Like, she will pull me. She will move my hands to be like, uplift.
Yeah, uplift yourself.
Yes. Like, you can do it.
And why would you recommend therapy for people like us, for people like you and I? And I know this is a tactical. Why would you recommend it for people like us?
I think, to be honest, if coming from a perspective, and I don't know if we're just even coming from like a POC perspective or a queer perspective.
It could be your exact identity. It could be queer, POC.
I think about queer POC as being a Black gay male, like, we just have a lot of shit to unpackage mm-hmm. in general. I yeah. think I think, especially people like coming from like the millennials, mm-hmm. we come from an age where technology was emerging, but not all inclusive. Mm-hmm. We just started really seeing gay people like on TV, what, 10 years ago? Mm-hmm. Like, we were already basically grown by then, right? Mm-hmm. These people growing up now, they have like so many different avenues of like, oh, they see RuPaul's Drag Race. They mm-hmm. see... They just see anything and everything, and yeah. we didn't have that. I remember
and growing access up, to different types of people.
Yeah, I remember growing up. I was like, I remember the chat line. You remember yeah. the chat line? That was like a 1-800 number where the gays would try to interconnect. Girls nowadays, they got apps, they got a computer, they got yeah. internet. But I think POC and queer people, intentionally, we have a different perspective, and also it's not something innate that we are consciously aware of in our mm-hmm. issues and our identity. Yeah. And I think therapy definitely helps you resolve some of those things. Like, mm-hmm. we still grow up in a heterosexual normative world.
Yeah.
Which, more so, like, girls go with guys, guys go with girls, right? Mm-hmm. I don't even think gay men learn how to date until, like, in their 20s. And then yeah. by then, they're still in that juvenile state of, mm-hmm. like, oh, it's okay for me to say I like you, or mm-hmm. it's okay for me to express how I feel about you and also mm-hmm. try to ask you on a date. Like, yeah. some of these things are developed by, you know, heterosexual norms, like, yeah. and they're like teens, mm-hmm. and we don't even experience this until our 20s, so how can we expect to really know what we want out of life, mm-hmm. and how can we connect with somebody without being able to express our feelings and emotions?
Yeah, because we spend so much of our early development just censoring ourselves.
Absolutely.
Like, that was flamboyant. Like,
let me sit back.
Let me, like, sit back.
Or sit back.
Oh, let me not go with the girls this time. I went with them last time, and they already say I'm a mama's boy. Yeah. Or that, like, I'm always hanging out with the girls. Like,
why you hanging with girls? Why you hanging out with the boys? Why you ain't doing sports?
Mm-hmm. And we put ourselves through so much, you mm-hmm. know, trying to adhere to this standard that we think is... Well, it's a survival strategy. It's going to help us survive. But also, yeah. like, this is how we're going to get through our childhood and our development and our teenage years mm-hmm. as unscathed as possible, or so we think.
We try.
But really, we realize once we get in therapy, all of that, those things that we packed away that we've said, not now, later on, you know, not now. We don't unpack those boxes.
We leave them.
I think in storage.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I think in therapy, like, you understand. Like, I don't know how much of our upbringing determines the person that we are in our adult life. Mm-hmm. Like, unintentionally, unaware that how you were raised mm-hmm. determines how you think about yourself, mm-hmm. relationships,
yeah.
engaging with others, mm-hmm. and how that all interconnects.
Yeah.
And it's weird how I still deal with some of it.
Yeah. It's bizarre to kind of see how, like, adults model behavior, and as kids, we are just these little researchers. Like, picking up, like, okay, that's how you react when you're mad. Yeah. Okay, that's how we deal with emotion. We don't talk about it. We just, like, push it down. Like, kids are so sensitive and aware of that stuff that adults don't even realize. Like, adults think that they're hiding something. Like, oh, I'm really upset, but, like, I'm putting on a happy face for my kid. Kids know exactly that mommy is pretending.
Mommy's
and that
pissed.
kid is interpreting that.
Is she ready to beat his ass?
Mm-hmm. And the kid is interpreting that as, like, oh, when I'm pissed, I put a smile on my face. I don't talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't go to the person who hurt me.
You don't express it. Yeah. You suck it up, as we all have done, POC, and you keep moving forward. And I mm-hmm. think one of the big things I learned is that my relationships or my dating does not have to be a mirror image of my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was hard for me to understand. You know, I came from the traditional norm family. Mm-hmm. I'm blessed that my mom and dad are married and they've been married for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they love each other and everything else, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think when I initially started dating and my therapist hit on is that that's their life.
Mm-hmm.
That does not mean it's going to be your life.
Yeah.
And you don't have to make that your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in past relationships, even when they probably should have been, you know, X'd out so early on,
mm-hmm.
I tend to be drawn and hold on to them as hard as I could because I was like, well, my mom and dad fought for, you know, their relationship, so I need to fight for mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my therapist is like, okay, your mom and dad have been married for 30 years. you've been dating this person for like 3 to 4 months. You can kick him to the curb. Okay. It ain't the end of the world, mm-hmm. right? Even though I thought it was. And I was like, well, why am I doing that? And she was able to connect the dots.
Yeah.
You do it because that's how you were raised.
Mm-hmm. Well, that gets us close to the end. But before we go,
yeah.
do you have a self-care plug? So anything that you do that helps restore your energy, helps you tackle like your daily tasks,
oh, yeah.
anything to get you together when you know you're feeling a little bit off and you need some self-care time?
Yeah, so I draw self-care in multiple ways, mm-hmm. and it's just different. So for me, part of my self-care, and I think it's been part of my just routine now, is that I'm a big advocate of working out.
Mm-hmm.
I think just the endorphins and me mm-hmm. just being moving, and I do a lot of like group exercise.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel better, yeah. right? It gives me a place or just a mindset of just being able to be alone, mm-hmm. be with my thoughts, even while I'm working out, or yeah. even just like get away from my thoughts because I was like, all right, I have all this workout to do. I need to push myself, right? Mm-hmm. So I work out fairly consistently, but that's my self-care. Mm-hmm. And then also, some people forget about certain self-care. I like alone time.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of my self-care.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an only child. I am an extrovert, introvert. So mm-hmm. more so, yes, I can put on like, hi, this is Brandon, and hi, I can do this, and yes, yeah. I can be comical, but I also need to recharge myself, and exactly. part of my recharging myself is my own personal time in my space, alone, phone off, and mm-hmm. binge watching something on Netflix yes. or TV, and just mm-hmm. being alone.
Yeah.
Makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. And that's a self-care that people come for all the time. They're like, you need to get up and not watch Netflix.
No.
And what I've learned is to lean into that. Like, if I want to watch Netflix, whether I have an assignment to do or a deadline,
yeah,
I'm either going to be thinking about that thing I want to do and not do the thing that I need to do.
Right.
Or I can do the thing that I want to do.
And enjoy it.
And enjoy it and then have the energy to yes. do the things that I need to accomplish.
I totally agree. Like, it's just one of the things people used to be like, oh my God, you're secluded. Why are you by yourself? Oh, that's boring.
Mm-hmm.
That gives me life. Like, yeah. by myself, watching a show that I've been wanting to watch, mm-hmm. ordering in some food, and being alone and not having to deal with, like, the world motivates me.
Yeah.
It just motivates me.
Yeah. And that's important to know, too, because a lot of people think self-care has to be this big, like, extravagant thing. Like, I think I've asked clients before. They're like, oh, I really want to start preparing for running this marathon.
Child. I'm
like, start small. Start small.
Just get up and walk.
Yeah. Or people are like, I've been, you know, really just not feeling like being in groups, and so I feel like I should get out with friends. I'm like, that's cool if it's going to restore your energy.
Right.
But if what you need is just a long time where you don't feel guilty,
mm-hmm.
try to schedule in a long time where you don't feel guilty. Don't go, jump automatically to going to see friends. Like,
don't dive
maybe,
in.
Yeah, maybe you don't need to do that right now. Maybe that's not a necessity. Maybe it is just this alone time that you need where you're not going to drag yourself for taking time to yourself.
I agree, because the girls sometimes, like, I've seen multiple people, like, and I think friends are great. Friends are motivators, mm-hmm. right? But that's not how everyone operates. Like,
yeah.
sometimes friends can be draining.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think other people understand yeah. that. Sometimes you could be like, I need some time away from you because mm-hmm. I'm listening about your problems and I got my own. And I want to help you, but I want to help myself.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you so much for
thank
being
you.
Our, what number is this?
Third
hey. Guest. And as always, if you guys have any questions, any feedback, you can email us at blackpeopletherapy@gmail.com. And stay tuned for how to reach us on social media. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow, share with your friends, your colleagues, everybody, because these are important conversations that we need to have within our community. And as I said before, even if you're not within community, even if you are a white person who is listening to this, like, you have something to learn from Black people experiences and people of color's experiences and all in therapy and the world and kind of the things that we're a lot of things that we're dealing with. So thank you guys so much for your support. Stay tuned for those links and where to find us. And we'll see you next time. This concludes another session of Black People Go to Therapy Too. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Black People Therapy, Facebook at Black People Go to Therapy Too, and Twitter at Black PPL Therapy. Thanks.